Welcome to the Church of the Pines weekly podcast. We're so glad that you joined us. If you have any questions about our church, how you can get involved, or how you can support, please visit churchofthepines.com. We hope that you enjoy this week's message.
Prayer. Lord, we love you so much today. And just so thankful. I'm fired up. I can't even hardly contain it. Lord, I'm trying to temper it down a little bit. And we love you, and we love the things that you love, and we just consider it such a privilege and an honor to be a part of your kingdom and a part of your church today. And Lord, we thank you for your presence throughout our worship this morning. And Lord, we thank you that you are present to perform your word. And as we prepare to open your word and hear from it today, I just ask you that you would move like never before, that your word would penetrate our hearts like never before. Lord, we're ready to hear from you and receive from you. And as we are, Lord, we'll pray this prayer together like we do every week. Dear Heavenly Father, pray this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, those things I don't know, teach me. Those things that I haven't seen, show me. And those things that you have prepared for me, prepare me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're in this series we're calling Restart. And again, we're at the first of the year, so we want to see some things change. But maybe that list for you is your habits. Maybe that list for you is something physical. Maybe that list for you is career change. There can be any number of things. But what we've been talking about, and I'd encourage you, and I'll probably encourage you several times throughout the message today to go back and listen to the other three parts of this series, because it all goes together. And in each one of them, I give you some questions at the end of the message to get you to think throughout the week and throughout the months about what God's trying to say to us through this message. But instead of focusing on all the things external, so our diet, our exercise, our thinking, our habits, our hobbies, instead of focusing on all those things on the outside, really the true change that each and every one of us need is on the inside. True change comes from the inside. Before you try to change anything on the outside, we need to recognize that it is really the spiritual life on the inside of each and every one of us that needs to change. It's the spirit that gives us the power to change everything. So many times we're trying to do it on our own. We're trying to do it in our own strength. We're talking about a resolution when really what Jesus wants to do and his intention from the very beginning is that you would experience a revolution. How many of you are ready for a revolution? Tracy Chapman sang that song. Don't you know we're talking about a revolution? That's what we're talking about in church today. To let God come in and do something on the inside of you, just brand new, create a restart. And again, we've just kind of compared it to the phone that we get so many apps going on. We get so many things going on in our life that drain our battery and slow us down and bog us down. And just like this phone, our lives are the same way. We can just hit the spiritual reset button. It doesn't change anything about the outside. It doesn't fix your cracked screen. It doesn't change that ugly case you got on it. No. It resets it on the inside, and every one of us need that change. And that's been our theme verse for this series. If you want to follow along in your message notes that you received when you came in, that's a great way to follow along. They're going to have the scriptures on the screen, but then some of you super spiritual people like me, I see you out there. No condemnation to those of you who don't have your Bible, but you can read it from the Bible too, because we're going to quote the Bible. But our theme verse has been 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, when someone becomes a Christian, he doesn't just start attending church. He doesn't just start doing good things. And he doesn't just start turning over a new leaf, which I think is sometimes what the way we approach the year. This year, I'm turning over a new leaf. No, he says that he becomes a brand new person inside, that he's not the same anymore, that a new life's begun. And I know many of you here this morning, and you've had that experience, that there was a time that you committed your life to Christ and you knew that God had done something brand new on the inside. But then we get 2 months down the road, 2 years down the road, 20 years down the road, and life just has a way of creeping back in. And if you're here today and you've been following along with this series, then you just got to know that God wants to come in right here where you are right now and give you a spiritual restart before we focus on anything. And that was part one of the series. Part one was just focusing on your faith, restarting your faith. And I gave you a spiritual formula, as it were, to align yourself with God's principles and what God really wants to do on the inside before we even start talking about the stuff on the outside. In week two, we talked about our fitness. not fitness donut in our mouths, but working on fitness and how it was spiritual. Week one's talking about our spiritual life. Week two, we talked about our bodies and how our bodies are spiritual. Paul says that your body is the temple of God, and we can give more attention to sanctuaries and physical structures than we do to the temple where God actually lives. And so we want to restart in our fitness because our bodies are spiritual. Last week, we talked about our finances and talked about how God wants to put his spirit on your finances. I had some great feedback from the message last week. And if you're struggling financially, you need to go hear it, all of it, because it starts in week one. But last week especially just talked about how we need to get the world spirit off of our money and let God's spirit influence our money and teach us how to steward it. Talking about restarting our finances because our money is spiritual. Today we want to finish the series talking about our friends. Everybody say friends. So week one, we talked about our faith, restarting our faith. Week two, we talked about restarting our fitness. Week three, we talked about restarting our finances. And today, we want to talk about restart with our friends, because whether you know it or not, your relationships are spiritual. And that's really the kind of I hope you've seen the theme that runs throughout all of it, that every part of it is spiritual. Every part of our lives is spiritual. Every aspect of our lives doesn't just happen on the outside, but God wants to change something on the inside. It's spiritual. Everybody say it's spiritual. Look at your neighbor and say it's spiritual. And it's more spiritual than you think. And today I want to start the message. I kind of want to share these principles with you and these thoughts with you, because it's going to help you. And then I want to close with what I believe will be a pastoral moment for us together as a church. But I want to share a truth with you that starts in the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1 to show you a fundamental truth that I hope will change the way that you see your relationships all the way around. That will not see relationships the same way. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, you may be probably very familiar with the story that God said, "Let the land produce vegetation." So God has created the heavens, he's created the earth, he's created the sea, he's created the stars, the planets, he's created all the inanimate objects. He's created everything out there, and then he gets ready to start creating the things that have life, the things that are breathing, and even the plants that have life. And he says, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds. So we see the first thing that God did was he placed trees and plants, and he even said how to reproduce after their kind, which kind of begs the question, in that early situation, how could they reproduce after their kind if they were the only one? Like, how can the first tree reproduce after its own kind? Well, it's because when God created the first tree, he's so cool and he's so big that he didn't just plant a tree and say, "That's great." No, in that very first tree, he placed a seed. And from that seed would grow every tree that ever came after it. So the very first tree that God planted in the Garden of Eden is the seed for the tree that's in your yard. And he said, go and reproduce. Let's continue reading. He said, produce after your kind. So the land produced vegetations, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit, seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And then he made evening and he made daytime. Well, that's great. But I want you to recognize that God didn't just create a thing. He placed every living thing that he created with an intention to grow, with an intention to reproduce. And the way that he intended for it to reproduce was through intimacy. That there's not reproduction in any living thing. Even trees have to cross-pollinate. That there's no reproduction without intimacy. That he creates animals, and animals, they're not created to reproduce without being intimate. Humans aren't created to reproduce without being intimate. So God created this process of seed and harvest of intimacy and reproduction. And that's the way that he intended it to be from the very beginning. He didn't just create the thing. He created things to create more things, which is really cool to think about, because one of the words we use for God is the word omnipotent. Omni is the root word omni, which means all, having everything, and then the word potent, which is potential. And that from the very beginning, everything he created with the potential to reproduce. He created with the potential to multiply. God created everything to multiply and multiply through intimacy. And wherever there would be intimacy, he designed it that there would be reproduction, and everything that is intimate reproduces. Now, this is all going to make sense to you in a minute. I'm just setting the foundation for you. Let's look at, go down a little bit in Genesis 1, verse 26. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And in making man in his image, in his likeness, he created him as a spirit being. We've talked about that a lot in this series, that he's created man with a spirit being. So we are three-part beings. We have a body. We have a soul made up of our mind, will, and our emotions. But the part of you that we're talking about in this series to restart, the part that has the power to bless and touch the rest, and the part of you that's going to live for eternity, is the spirit on the inside. And that's the image that God created each and every one of you in. He created us in his image. And he goes on to say, let us make man in our own image and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. So he created animals too, and animals have emotions. Like animals have, the only thing that separates us and them is the spirit. You want to know, is my dog going to meet me in heaven? Well, does your dog have a spirit? No, he's got emotions. Obviously, he wags his tail when he's happy to see you. He runs from you when you're trying to kick him. Animals have emotions. They obviously have a flesh, but it's the spirit on the inside that separates us and them and causes us to live for Christ and be able to make us have this relationship. So he says, God made all of that. Let us create man in his own image and let them rule, have dominion over the birds of the air and over the livestock and over all the earth and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created him male and female. God blessed them. Hear this word. God blessed them and said to them, and check this out. He said, be fruitful and increase in numbers. Now this is, if you study the Bible or if you study Bible study, there's a rule or a law in Bible study called the law of the first mention. And this is the first time that God speaks to mankind. The first thing he says to man, he creates everything, and the first instruction, the first thing he says to them is to find my place in this little bitty Bible. He says, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God created and he said, be fruitful. God intended from the very beginning for there to be a transference from one generation to the next. That in everything God created, not just in the tree, we just use that as an example, but in everything that he created in that thing everything that was necessary to pass down from that generation to the next generation. Everything that God created, he created to multiply and continue to grow and to continue to increase. Relationships are by God's design. That God has placed you in relationship. And that's why the design of relationships, every relationship that you're in, married or unmarried, your co-working relationships, your friend relationships, your church relationships, every relationship that you have is designed for a level of intimacy. And whether you know it or not, every relationship that we have and that we are in, there is a level of transference from what is in one person into what is in the other person. That as parents, when we reproduce offspring, that there is a transference of what is in us goes into them. And not just what we look, and not just the physical, not just what we look like, but our attitudes, our thoughts, our processes, our habits, our tendencies, that God placed that in this one seed that's transferred to the next, that's transferred to the next, to transfer to the next. I need you to grasp this principle today that God has placed in each and every one of us a transference. And every relationship that we're in experiences that. And that's how God has decided from the very beginning to build his kingdom. That God built his kingdom from the very beginning through relationship. Through relationships and through intimacy that pass on from one generation to the next. That pass on from one person to the next. That pass on from one relationship to the next. That's why families are so important. And that's why God loves to work through the family line, because there's a blessing. And when he speaks blessing over one, that blessing is designed to go down, to pass down, to pass down, and to pass down. But it also works the exact opposite. Where there is dysfunction, and where there are issues, and where there are problems, it's the same thing. That there's a transference of the negative just as much as there is the positive. And that's why we need to grasp this, that our decision-making process and our thought processes when it comes to our relationships especially has such a great effect on where we're going, on what we're doing. And we can live, if we're not careful, we can live in such a short-sighted kind of life that the decisions that we're making aren't thought through the generation or even past this generation. Sometimes we're not even thinking past this week, let alone how this is going to affect my kids, my grandkids, the generations to come after that. And we got to understand that God wants to work through a relational line. And we see that. It's kind of interesting, too, when you talk about the law of first mention. So we see in Genesis, that's the first thing that God says to mankind. But when you look at the end of the Old Testament, the last book in the Old Testament is the book of Malachi. And it's God speaking to the Israeli nation, prophesying through the prophet Malachi. And the kind of the whole book, if you want to read it, it's just four chapters, and you can read through it in about 15 minutes, and I'll give you some homework today. Go back and read Malachi. But it's like so many of those books, kind of the overarching thought is, God, where are you? Like, what are you doing here? This is, you know, thousands of years after the Garden of Eden, and the people are wondering, God, where are you? We need you. Why are you not close to us? And God responds to him. In Malachi chapter 2, what I want you to see in here is that God wraps up, and I don't think I have this in the notes, but God finishes the book of Malachi saying the same thing that he said in the Garden of Eden. I'm going to skip to the end, and then we'll jump back to what I really want to show you. He says, Zephaniah. Give me a second. I even put a paperclip in that. He says in the very last thing that God says in the last book of the inspired Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, he says, "See, I will send you the prophet Elijah." So he's talking about the end times, the time when Jesus is going to return. He says, "See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers." That's how it's going to end. "Or else I will come and strike the land with a curse." So we see that God cares about the relationships and the transference of these relationships. He started in Genesis that way. He ends it in Malachi the same that way. And then when Jesus comes on the scene, the very next book in the Bible is Matthew, where Jesus comes on the scene and Jesus begins to show us what that relationship looks like and how we can enjoy relationship with God. But God intended for everything to run through relationship, and that's why it's so important to us, and that's why divorce is such a big deal. Now, before I even go into this, I want to acknowledge that we've all made mistakes, and we've all made relational mistakes, and there may be those of you in here today that you've experienced divorce, and I'm sorry that you went through that. For whatever reason, whoever's fault it was, we don't play the blame game, and there's no going back. I hate that you have been through that, and I know it's a terrible thing. I'll share a little bit of my story about it in a minute, but our family has experienced that as well. But I think the church historically has made divorce into be that pet sin. I think homosexuality has come in and maybe glossed over this just a little bit, but before that took the forefront, really divorce was the pet sin of the church. And I know people who have been kicked out of churches because they've experienced divorce and walked through that. And the church has used this to kind of browbeat people and say, "Hey, you're out, you've completely missed it." And that's not, God doesn't hate divorce because of divorce. God hates divorce. Let's read it out of Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 11, I think. Give me just a second. Malachi chapter 2, verse 13. says, another thing that you do, so people are wondering, where are you, God? Why are you so far from us? He said, you're flooding the Lord's altar with your tears, and you are weeping and you're wailing because he's not paying attention to you, your offerings, or not accepting the sacrifice with pleasure from your hands. And you're asking yourselves, why? Why, God, is this not good enough for you? And he said, it's because the Lord is acting as the witness, that he's watching. And he's watching between you and the wife of your youth, because you have broken faith with her, because the separation has come in this relationship that I've made so very important, is so near and dear to my heart. But it's not just because of that. Check this out. He says, has not the Lord made them one in flesh, and are they his spirit? And why one? Why did he design marriage? Because he was seeking godly offspring. That the heartbreaking part of divorce is not as much it is the separation that occurs. It's because God planned his blessing to flow through godly relationships, through godly children. And when we walk through that, and again, don't get down on me, because I know it, I mean, 50% of our population or over has experienced divorce, and vast majority of that, it's affected you in one way or another. I get it. Our family's been a part of that too. But when that happens, and when that experience happens, what we've got to see is that can kind of throw God's plan off. Like, you think God can't be thrown off? Well, he's not thrown off, but it makes it harder to transfer the blessing and harder to work through that line when the line begins to be broken and he can't work through the generations like he designed it to be. It's not just that divorce is ugly, it's that it messes up the downline, and that God wants to continue to work through our relationships. Why? Because relationships are spiritual. And that's our first point. I just want to drive this home today, that you got to see from the very beginning throughout the Bible. And it's in that passage in Malachi about returning the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers. That's in Revelation too. Like, this is a big deal to God. And God wants us to be in relationship. Our relationships are spiritual. Again, that's our work relationships, our friend relationships, our church relationships. At any level in our lives, where there is intimacy, there is transference. That the people that are in your life are influencing you. And the people whose life you are in, you are influencing them. And in our relationships, we begin to reproduce from one what is in the other. We'll talk about what we need to do about that here in just a minute. Second thing about relationships is they have a lasting impact. Like, we need to watch the relationships that are in our life, because they have a lasting impact. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. I was a youth pastor for 9 or 10 years in Mississippi, and we pastored hundreds of kids. And if there's anything that I can tell you about students, is there is very clearly that you can see their friends determine their future. That our friends, my friends, I can look back in the history of my life and see that the people who were influencing me made an impact, a lasting impact. And there are things that are still in my life because of relationships that I let into my life in junior high. And you can still see the fruit of that. It lasts forever. Again, God designed it this way. That there's a transference, that there's an intimate relationship that takes place, that God works through each other, both good and bad. Relationships are spiritual. They have a lasting impact. So that kind of leads me to this third point, that our relationship choices are critical. They're critical because God designed them. God wants us in the right relationships with the right people. Kind of to tie it into the series that you're starting the year and you want to do something new. You want to get fit. You want to eat better. You want to change your habits. You want to break a sin. You want to do any of that, but you can't do it on your own. You need somebody in your life to hold you accountable. You need accountability. If you want to experience healing this year, James 5 says, hey, if you need healing, confess your faults one to another so that you may be healed. God's designed it all to happen through relationships. So who we're letting into our life matters. It's important. Proverbs 27 says, a mirror reflects a man's face, but what he is really like is shown by the kind of friends that he chooses. So you're saying, that's not me, but that's who you associate with. That's who you hang out with. Again, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. If you want to change your life, then you got to do it the way God designed it, and that's through relationship. Who do we have in our life? Who is influencing us? Some of you are here and you just need to get brand new friends. We just need new friends. And maybe some of you students are in here today and you're thinking, what do I need to do? I don't like, my parents keep telling me they don't like what's going on in my life. Well, listen to them because they can see it. Sometimes it's a blind spot to us. And the people who are in our life are transferring what is in them into us. It's transferring their experiences into us. You can look through statistics and probably the vast majority of people who have been abused pass on that abuse to the next generation. It goes on and on. Matter of fact, there's some generational scriptures that some people don't even like in the Old Testament where God says, I'm going to revisit the sins of the father down to the children, to the fourth generation. And some people think that that's God casting judgment on somebody's sin. It's not God casting judgment on somebody's sin. It's God telling you the principle that he's established from the very beginning, that I established in this one seed everything that's going to go through it. And if it's up here, God's just letting you know it's going to be down there. That because that's the system and the structure that he established. And so what's he telling us to do? Get it right. Make a priority of the relationships that you have in your life. Restart who your friends are. So just like we've done for the past 3 weeks, I want to close this message and this series with a couple of questions, and then I'm gonna ask Caleb to come up in a minute a little early, and I just want to pray together over a couple of things. But the first question, when it comes to how do I develop relationships and how do I experience God's blessing, because that's really what God wants for you. You got to know that God wants blessing in your life. I don't care where you've come from. I don't care what you've been through. God has designed everything in creation the same way he designed it in the very beginning, to bear fruit and multiply, to be intimate and multiply. Isn't it funny, too, that that's like one of the last things Jesus said? So we see it in Genesis. We see it at the end of Malachi. Then Jesus comes on the scene, shows us what it's supposed to look like. And the last thing he tells his disciples before he ascended, we call it the ascension. And the last thing he tells them, the Great Commission, is go into all the world and make disciples. Go out, reproduce. That God has called each and every one of us to take the blessing and the things that he has placed in our life and turn and give it to other people, to transfer it. He's called us to be in relationship. So the first question we can ask ourselves is, am I nurturing important relationships? Am I nurturing them? Am I developing intimacy with the people? So is there somebody in my life that I love what's going on in their life? I admire their life. I see the fruit in their life. Am I nurturing that relationship so that I can experience that transference into my life? That's why reading our Bible and spending time with God is so important. Like, that's the first and most important relationship that we can have. As a church together, we read the one-year Bible. I encourage you to have some kind of Bible plan that puts you in a position to spend time with God on a daily basis. How can we be close to somebody who we never spend time with? We got to nurture that relationship through reading our Bible, through prayer, spending time. When it comes to parenting, how well can we parent if we're not nurturing the relationship, if we're not spending intimate time? We just walked through this in our family. We just kind of came to a place a few weeks ago where my wife and my daughter let me know, hey, I need more from you. I said, okay, we can do that. We can work that out. Don't study as much. I spend a lot of time, you know, upstairs in my study studying. My daughter says, hey, I need you to be down here a little more. I said, that's great. So we instituted Thursday night date night. Don't try to get a meeting with me on Thursday. You can't have it because I'm spending time with my daughter. So whether we're going to dinner or we went to Grand Slam this Thursday and spent $30 to win a little Pokemon plush, you know, with tickets. But man, it made her so happy. And it's more than just spending that money, but it's spending that time together. I'm nurturing that relationship that's important to me. As parents, those relationships are important, and we want to see that blessing, that transference. I want everything. Man, God's done an incredible work in my life. God's done an incredible work in my wife's life. And we want what God's done to be transferred into her life. But if we're not spending time nurturing that relationship that we say is important to us, we're never going to see it happen. And many parents are in that struggle of life that I just don't see it. I just don't see what I believe I need to be seeing in my kids. Nurture it. Am I nurturing that relationship, those relationships that are important to me? We got to spend time on them. We got to make them our focus. Here's a couple of ideas if you want to jot a couple of things down. I'm going to put them on the screen. And we're having our marriage night on February 14th. So I encourage you to get signed up for that. Invest in that marriage relationship. Let me give you a couple things that you can do just that are real quick and real easy to nurture that relationship that's in our lives. We can love God. Start each day with a hug. How about that? Sounds great. Say I love you every time you part ways. Compliment freely and often. Live each day as if it's your last. Go on a date each week. Stop and smell the roses. How about this? Kiss unexpectedly. Ladies are like, yes, come on. Bring that kissing to me. Apologize sincerely. Be forgiving. Guys, let your wife give you directions when you're lost. Come on, somebody. But ladies, you got to laugh at his jokes. It helps. Ask your guys to marry you all over again. Ladies, say yes. Never go to bed mad, right? It's just these things. The point is you got to work on it. It doesn't just happen. You got to throw a log on that fire every now and then. You got to nurture that relationship. You got to breathe on it a little bit. And I promise you this, for most people in the world, the enemy is working overtime harder to destroy that relationship than we are to nurture it. I mean, that's why the divorce rate's so high, because there's forces in our world that are working harder to break it up than we are to get it going, to keep that fire hot. And there's two reasons. One, that you either don't know it, so today's your wake-up call that you didn't know, now you know, or the second you know and you're not doing anything. And in either case, I encourage you with everything I am to just stop right now and make a point and make a commitment today, and maybe that's the commitment that you need today, that I'm going to nurture my relationships. Galatians 5 says, serve one another in love. This goes to every relationship. Every relationship in your life, not just marriage relationships. Serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command, to love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Can you see that? That God has instituted relationships, and they are incredibly valuable, but they're also can be very destructive. The very thing that God intended to be a blessing in your life can be the very thing that the enemy wants to use to destroy your life. And we've got to recognize that and be bigger than that. Everybody say, I'm bigger than that. Yeah, you need to work on yourself, talk a little bit. I'm bigger than that. So am I nurturing right relationships? Secondly, am I severing harmful relationships? I think this is so big. This was a big one in youth ministry that we always focused on. Because just again to remind you, if you get close, there's going to be a transference. And you can't stop that. Students, you got to know that the friends that you're picking now, they're putting something into your life. There's a transference from what's in them to in you. And if your parents are seeing something and saying something that maybe you need to get rid of them, then I encourage you, listen to them. Parents say, amen. Amen. You need to get those people out of your life. You need to sever those relationships. When Angela and I committed our lives to the Lord, I was just turned 25. She had just turned 20, and I was working nights. I had a full-time job, but I was working nights in a restaurant. She was working at the restaurant too. We committed our lives to the Lord and just realized we can't stay in this environment. Any of you that have worked in the restaurant industry know that it can be a little seedy, a little dark, everybody's not saved in the back, in the kitchen, in the restaurant. We've all heard stories, and we were working there, and we knew that if we were going to do what God called us to do, we weren't going to be able to stay in that environment. And we went to the manager, it's a messed up situation, but we went to the guy, and we said, it's a locally owned place, it wasn't a chain, we said, hey, we got to quit. Like, we just went and quit. We didn't even give him 2 weeks. And he said, yeah, man, he said, I don't blame you. He said, this is sin city around here. He just agreed with us and blessed us to go as we went. But we had to sever our relationships. And that was hard to do. But we severed it to the extent that when we finally saw some people a little while later, they thought we had moved states. We hadn't even left the city. We just quit going. And sometimes we think our whole world revolves around this small little bubble that we live in. But you got to know it's bigger than that. That there's other people out there. There's other relationships. There's other people that God has put around you to influence you in the right way. And we need to learn how to get rid of the old ones, sever the ones that are hurting us, sever the ones that are hard, and allow in the ones that God wants us to have. And that's even for dating. As a dad girl, when that girl dad, that's what it was, hashtag girl dad, that was a big thing this week, and I participated in girls in this room. Married, I mean unmarried, whoever you are, that you gotta say no. And I'm trying to raise my daughter to say no. That there's guys out there and they're telling you all the right stuff and they're acting all the right way, but you got to tell them no. You got to go. We were singing this. We were moving this week. No, you got to go. We were moving this week and we're saying no, 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 da, 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 can't touch this. You just need to tell them. You can't. Guys, you need to know. You need to back off. But I know sometimes girls can be a little aggressive too. Young people, you need to back off. You need to sever this relationship. And if they give you a hard time, tell them to call the church. Our number's on the website. Say, you call, you talk to Pastor Les. He'll straighten you out. Okay? I don't care. I'm even trying to talk about nurturing relationships. I'm even trying to nurture my relationship with my daughter so that she knows I want to be a part of that friend choosing and mate choosing process. That I want to know that I want to have a voice in who this person is. Not because I'm trying to control you, but I got to live with this person for the rest of my life too. I got to spend Thanksgiving with this guy too, right? Those are my grandkids. Like I want some influence in that. And I know that if I can nurture that relationship well, that we will experience the fruit of that. But we got to do it. And that starts right now, just helping pick the right ones. And even outside of that, sometimes we got work relationships and we're just a little too close to those off-color, dirty jokes that are being told in the break room. That we're hanging around too close to people who are still stuck in a racist, old-school mindset that they'll just say things that aren't appropriate and things that aren't of God when it comes to races and different races. We got to cut ourselves off from that. We can't laugh at that and we can't joke around with that. Relationships are serious. They're going to throw a screen up that has a whole bunch of verses on it. God talks about getting rid of all these relationships. Get rid of laziness. You can screenshot this. Check it out later. Get away from angry people. Get away from immoral people. Get away from greedy people. Get away from unbelieving people. The Bible tells us to separate ourselves and sever ourselves from those kind of relationships if we want to experience God's best in our life. The third thing is, am I initiating meaningful relationships? And Caleb, you can come on up and I'll just, there's a few more scriptures and you can go read through those later, but I really just felt this morning that God wanted to do something today and just put an extra message on my heart after we had already had all this laid out. But am I initiating meaningful relationships? Because for many of us, we're hanging in a comfortable spot and we're avoiding the very relationships that God has intended to help us grow. And small groups kick off today. I mean, that's not a coincidence that we're teaching about friends and relationships on the same day that we're launching small groups. I mean, it's what we're doing. Because you got to know that God has designed each and every one of you to be in relationship. God's designed each and every one of your marriages to be in other marriage relationships. So there's a transference. God's designed those of you who are single. Get some other godly single people in your life. You can't do this alone. But so many times, I think the trick of the enemy and the trap of this world is to stay away from the meaningful relationships in our life and run to the ones that are convenient, that are easy. God wants you to get in relationships that are going to help you change. And can I just say, I know small groups, I know they're awkward, right? Can we just pull the band off? I know it's awkward to walk into somebody's house for the first time that you don't know. And I'm even encouraging you, hey, don't pick just one. They're going to have computers in the lobby. You can check out a small group directory before you leave. You can go to the website. They're on there right now, and you can scroll through. Don't just pick one. Pick two or three that are interesting to you. reach out to the leader. Go this week to one and you say, hey, I'm not feeling that. That's not me. Go check out another one. The first group you land on does not have to be your group. Life doesn't work like that, neither do small groups. So let me let you off the hook. And it is a little awkward to step into it. I get that. But if you want to have meaningful relationships in your life, it takes intentionality and it takes you initiating it. There's some other great scriptures. Let me read these over you. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Jesus told his disciples, I no longer call you servants because servants don't know his master's business, but instead I have called you friends. Today we all stand here as friends of God. Many of us saved. God's done a great work in our life and we're thankful. But I'm asking you to take the initiative to get meaningful relationships in your life. And here's what I've kind of been thinking about this morning. There's been a number of times since we've planted this church. It's just my heart to you. Many, many times since we've planted this church that I've had somebody in my house on my couch eating dinner, laughing, having a good time. Everything's right with the world. Only to get a call on Monday morning saying, hey, I just wanted you to know we haven't been living together for 3 months and she's filing for a divorce and I need help. And every time that has happened, it's really been too late. I wish that it wasn't, but it has been. Because we all want to play games when it comes to relationships. I'm just going to be real. We all want to play games when it comes to relationships. But if you want to change, if you want healthy change in your life, if you want healthy spiritual growth, if you want healthy change in your life, you've got to take the initiative to get the right people in your life. Okay, can I tell you, my name's Les. I'm the pastor of this church. I hope I'm your pastor. I'm not just a Sunday preacher. I'm not just your preacher. Bible says that I'm held accountable for your soul. God holds me accountable for your life. And we've established a leadership here in a leadership team here in the church that we're responsible for your life, the Bible says. And I would want to ask you, give us the opportunity to do that. Don't come when it's too late. Don't reach out for a relationship when you're at the end. Initiate it now. Now's the time. Now's the moment. I'm a pastor, and I want to pastor you. Jesus gives a parable that says, "Hey, he goes looking for the one, and I'm okay with going looking for the one from time to time, but my real job's keeping you together." And the best way that we can keep you together and that we can stay together is when each and every one of us are taking the initiative to come to me or to come to one of our leaders. Pastor Chris was up here. To come to one of our leaders and say, hey, this is really going on. I'm initiating this in this moment before it gets too late. We got to know. It's time to grow up. You know what the word that the Lord put on my heart this morning was? It's uncommon. It's uncommon. And the whole kind of overarching thought of this series, Restart, is that what I know about each one of you is you want something uncommon in your life. Don't you? I want something uncommon in my life. I want an uncommon relationship with God. I want an uncommon relationship with my spouse. I want an uncommon physique. Come on, somebody. I want that. I want an uncommon debt load in my life. But you know what you got to do to have the uncommon in your life? You got to do something uncommon. And that's really our series next month. We're gonna do a whole series on relationships. And that's how important relationships are. It's spiritual. And we're going to take the next 5 weeks and dive in on relationships. And we're going to call it Uncommon. Because if we want to have some uncommon things in our life, we got to do some uncommon things. We got to be some uncommon people. And I'm just closing this message saying, let's have some uncommon transparency. so that we can have some uncommon transference of blessing from one generation to the next. I didn't plant this church for me. I planted this church for my daughter and her generation and the generation after that. I planted this church. God said, you're going to go to Tyler, and there's going to be people in Tyler who people have been praying for years and years and years. And this church is going to be planted, and it's going to be the difference maker. Okay, and that's not for just this moment. And that's not for just this year. And that's not just for our second anniversary, which I'm thoroughly excited about. And I hope you come and celebrate with us. But it's not just about that. It's about the second and the third and the fourth generation. And we got to be uncommon people who think about it in an uncommon way so that we can experience an uncommon life that God's called us to live. Bow your head and close your eyes. Let's go. Lord, we love you. And I just thank you for relationships. Lord, we've looked at your word and kind of seen how you started it from the very beginning. And Lord, we want that in our life. We don't want to be people who stop the blessing. We don't want to be people who where the blessing stops with us and the next generation has to live without. Lord, we want to be people, maybe it hasn't been transferred to us, but we want to be people today, may it start with us, with a right heart, a right attitude, a right perspective of how spiritual this whole thing is. May there be a transference worth giving in our lives. Here's the other thing God wanted me to share with you today, is that you can't do that by doing that. You can't do that unless you are empowered by God's Spirit to do it. That's why the change is internal. So before we pray for salvation today, I want to pray for those of you who are in this room and you've been trying to follow God and you've been trying to follow it just because I read it and now I'm trying to do it. But can I tell you, reading it and doing it is powerless if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. That's the difference maker. There's hundreds and thousands of theologians all over the world that can read the Bible. And there's really nothing, so many of these proverbs are very natural and practical that anybody could put them into practice and they would help. But you will never experience the fullness of the power of God's word unless you live a spirit-empowered life. And for some of you, maybe that's your prayer today. Maybe just under your breath, we're not going to pray this out loud, but you say, Lord, Holy Spirit, I've been trying to do it without you. And come and fill me up. Fill me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. That I'd be empowered to do what your word says to do. That I'd be empowered to have uncommon relationships. That I'd be empowered to transfer blessing from this generation to the next. Lord, I pray for every person in here that they would experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit in each and every one of them in Jesus' name. There's some of you here today that you need a fresh start in your relationship with the Lord. And he's here today ready to help you start brand new. If that's you, I want you to pray this prayer out loud with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. Today I commit my life to follow you. Forgive me for trying to go my own way. I repent and I turn around. I run to you today. I surrender to you today. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for a fresh start today. Fill me up. I will follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.